This is Jessica Delgado from Visalia's Podcast. For the safety of our community, the Tulare King Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Visalia's Podcast believe the importance of informing our community to stay safe and help small businesses in Tulare County. As COVID-19 cases continue to increase, our businesses are paying the price of the shutdown, and many of our neighbors have lost their jobs. Let's work together to open Tulare County. Remember, wear a mask, social distance, and wash your hands. My podcast is focused on health, wealth, and community for Tulare County.
Listen, we thank you for your time, and thanks for your cooperation with the Chamber. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye. Have a good day. Happy holidays.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Okay, you ready? All right. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hi, this is Jessica with Visalia's Podcast, where we focus on health, wealth, and community. And today I'm so excited because I'm partnering with Fresno State University, and I graduated from Fresno State in 2008. So I love to support anything that they are, you know, having the community learn about. And today we're going to be talking to a very important guest. And will you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everyone. And hi, Jessica. My name is Esteban Parra Guerrero. My pronouns are he, him, his, and I am the coordinator of gender programs and services and also the coordinator of LGBTQ plus programs and services at the Fresno State Cross Cultural and Gender Center.
That's amazing. And what does that even mean? Because I know some people are hearing that, and you also said your pronouns. If you can just, you know, explain that.
Yeah. So, you know, gender pronouns to me, right? And this is a great question to ask, definitely a person who identifies part of the transgender community. But to me, it means it shows allyship, right? Yeah, so that's a great question, Jessica. And I think, you know, I first want to start by saying that I encourage folks who are listening today that that's a question that we might, I encourage you all to ask someone who identifies part of the transgender community to what, you know, gender pronouns means to them, because my answer may be completely different than them. But to me, right, I am a cisgender man. I identify as part of the LGBTQ plus community. But to me, it is important to introduce yourself using your gender pronouns, because especially in situations or work environments like Fresno State, you get to demonstrate some sort of allyship, right? That's a great step, first step to let folks know from the LGBTQ plus community, and particularly the transgender community, that you're an ally, that you understand the importance of pronouns. So pronouns are important. Why? Because you might have a student, a colleague, and or a community member who identifies as gender nonconforming, or who is currently transitioning, right? So we don't want to misgender them, right, Jessica? So just to give you an example, and any of our listeners today, let's say that you identify as a woman, right? She, her, hers, but someone keeps referring to you as him. He said that, you know, he said X, Y, and Z. How would you feel about that, right? Like, hey, Excuse me, you're misgendering me. So gender pronouns are really important.
Oh, wow. I know I've heard that before, but I've never understood it. So what would I say? How would I introduce myself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica. My pronouns are she, her, hers.
Oh, that's interesting. And why is that important for especially businesses? I work with a lot of different businesses in Tulare County and Kings County. Why is it important for them to understand this?
You know, it's important. I'll give you an example. I have a friend who is an HR specialist for a company here in the Central Valley. And I keep telling her, I keep teaching her, she's one of my best friends, like, yo, you know, this is why pronouns are important. Like, I'll share some scholarly journals. I'll share some true testimonies from our trans community of what pronouns mean. You know, think about this, Jessica, to receive an email from management, right? From the CEO of a company or from a colleague. And at the very bottom of a signature, right? You have, for example, Esteban Parra Guerrero, comma, he, him, his. Think about those folks who don't feel safe or who are identified as part of the LGBTQ plus community, but don't yet feel safe to share that with everyone because, for example, their work environment, it might be hostile, but to receive an email, right, from a colleague or from a leadership and they have their pronouns attached to their signature, if I was that employee receiving that email, wow, there's an ally right there. There's someone who understands pronouns or someone who knows the beginning or maybe well competent about the LGBTQ plus community. And, you know, you're introduced to folks who support you, right, who support that hidden identity of being LGBTQ. Does that answer your question, Jessica?
Yeah, yes. I never understood it before. And I actually have supported the Source LGBT plus center here in Visalia. I've done some volunteer work for them because when I was in high school, there was a lot of controversy. You didn't talk about being gay or lesbian or LGBT, trans at high school, right? Because then you would get beat up and you would get bullied. And I would stand up for the kids who were trans, you know, gender or lesbian or gay. I would stand up for them and I would get told things. And I would say, hey, you know what? I didn't know that was an ally, you know, back in 2003, that was not a term, ally. And so now I try to bring awareness. Hey, you know what? Lesbian, gay, straight, we all need to respect each other and just support each other and love each other for who we are, you know? So now I get why you say the pronouns and why that's showing support as an ally. So, and identifying yourself, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, my listeners, I know a lot of them probably do not talk about this. So the point of my podcast was to educate. So thank you for educating for that point. Now let's move on to talk about what you do at Fresno State and why it's important, especially to the men, to the males in the community.
You know, Jessica, so earlier today, well, during our meeting, right, we talked about how I introduced myself as the gender coordinator, the coordinator of gender programs and services, and also LGBTQ plus programs and services. But it's also, you know, important to note, right, that I am part of other committees and other organizations, such as the Men's Success Initiative. The Men's Success Initiative was recently housed under our gender programs and services, right? So we serve men, women, and anyone in between the spectrum. So we recognize, right, the reason why Men's Success Initiative was created, I believe 2-3 years ago, was because, like many other CSUs across the state of California, and in fact, across the nation, a lot of men, they're either withdrawing from their higher education experience, or they're not graduating, we're not retaining them, and or they're not attending higher education. In other words, they're not pursuing education after high school compared to women, right? So I'll speak on behalf, you know, I'll speak about Fresno State. In 2018, fall 2018, if I recall correctly, and this information is public, that like you could go to our Fresno State website and research the data, analyze the data, but in 2018, the fall cohort, 18% of men of color and or men did not promote to their sophomore year. What that means is that the folks who started their freshman year, you know, fall 2018, by their next academic year, they withdrew from their academics. 18%, to me, that's a huge number, which is a reason why then, that's one of the reasons why the Men's Success Initiative was developed, to create programming around men's success. For example, this past Monday, we had a panel titled Men, Masculinity, and Leadership, where we had our very own leader, President Joseph I. Castro, which I admire and respect so much. We had a director of recruitment and admissions, Fong Yang, a student from the Cross Culture and Gender Center who identifies as African American Black, and then myself to talk about my identity as a male, but also as LGBTQ. And then today we started our Men in Higher Ed panel series, and we kicked it off with two faculty and two staff who identify as men, as male, and African-American Black. Because we understand that programming like this, it's and that's just baby steps, right, Jessica? I'm not saying that because of these two programs, we're going to change the whole world, right? There are baby steps, there are programs. But again, our goal is to continue closing that graduation and retention gap.
Mm-hmm. And why do you see that men are not, you know, pursuing their higher education, especially right now with COVID?
You know, I can't, it's important to recognize, right, that my experience as a Latino, as first generation, as LGBTQ is completely, or maybe the same, different than a person who comes from the African-American Black community, from a man who comes from the Asian Pacific Islander community, a transgender male, right? It's important to recognize. So I'll speak on my behalf, on my experience and what I observed by far. You know, one of the stereotypes, or I guess feeling overwhelmed, right, that we have to be the main source of income. You know, I don't know about you, Jessica, but I am thankful that I received some sort of financial aid. And I needed that money for a laptop. I needed that money for food because I left home to come to Fresno State. And I'll never forget that my father said to me, because he calls me Junior, he said, Junior, he said, I don't know where you're going, what you're doing after high school, but we cannot help you with a single dollar. You are on your own. And it's not because we don't want to, it's because we can't help you. This is in 2008, right? The recession and everything was going downhill for this country. So I'm saying that to say, Jessica, that by the end of the semester, I have some money left over. And guess what I did with that money? I gave it to my dad. Mm-hmm. I gave it to my mom, you know? So another example recently, especially with COVID, I have a colleague, you know, we're trying to create programming. We're trying to collaborate with departments like the Career Development Center, Student Health and Counseling Center, Student Involvement and Office of Black Student Success, and of course, across Cultural and Gender Center. Why? Because check this out. We have one of my colleagues who works in the Career Development Center. He said that now he's heard multiple stories of students who identify as men, who went back home because of the pandemic. All of a sudden, parents are asking them, hey, since you're back home now, you need to go find a job and help pay bills, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to create programming. We're trying to partner with career development to, again, let men, particularly men of color, know that, hey, we have all these internships that are paid. We have all this, you know, grants, financial aid, scholarships. Come check us out. Because here's another problem, Jessica. Men, compared to women, right? Women are more likely to get involved with student involvement, with clubs and orgs, are more likely to apply for those grants that are available, scholarships that are available compared to men. So we're trying to make it more equitable, right? More equal, like men and women can apply, or let men know that the resources are available. And if you quote unquote don't have the time to apply, we're here to help you. But also, right, and just another quick example, there's so much stigma with men, particularly men of color, to seek mental health resources, to seek a therapist, a counselor. So we're trying to change that by partnering with the Student Health and Counseling Center and having a representative who also identifies as men of color speak on workshops, speak on mental health, and invite as much as people as we can, men and women, right? Because we also need our allies. We need our women to support us, back us up, and vice versa, to learn, you know, to make it more of a norm. It's okay to seek a therapist. It's okay to seek a healing circle, a counselor. And guess what? You're paying for these services. You students, you're paying, you know, the $3,500, $3,800 a semester. That includes your student health fees. Use them wisely.
Yeah. And you need that. I mean, I know it's true, the stigma of saying out loud, I go see a therapist. I mean, I see a therapist. I like to be put in check and talk about, you know, whatever's going on in my life, and my therapist will guide me. It's good to have that third party. And when I mention it to students who go to Fresno State, first of all, they look at me like, are you sure? Like, I need this? And they don't realize that everyone needs it, even if you don't think you need it, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So do you go to therapy?
You know what, Jessica, I have to say, That's a personal question, but I'll tell you what, I'm an open book. And there's times to be vulnerable and not to be vulnerable. And today I want to be vulnerable and let my brothers and sisters know that I do seek therapy. And it was at Fresno State, you know, because it was just too much. And I'll tell you why. Mainly was because I was struggling with my identity. You know, being born and raised in a very Mexican traditional family, the bullying that I experienced, it literally led me to hide that identity. Like, I don't want to come out and get my butt kicked. So coming to Fresno State, you know, I had a scenario where, you know, we all have room for improvement, right? This world is not perfect. And I, at times, I did feel like I didn't feel welcome here. Like, is this faculty like homophobic? It's staff. But you know what? I have to say that Fresno State has come a long way. And we definitely have become a more inclusive place for our LGBTQ community. And I thank our leadership, like our director of Cross Culture and Gender Center, Dr. Francino Puta, our assistant director, Dr. Taylor, you know, sorry, Dr. Taylor, and of course our president, Joseph A. Castro. But I had to seek therapy. I had, you know, therapy on campus and off campus, you know?
You don't know who you've probably inspired by being vulnerable and saying your truth today. I've had a couple women who are mothers, and I've been very honest about, you know, having postpartum depression and, you know, and they messaged me and they said, you know what, Jessica, we're afraid to go get help because if you get help, it's shown that you're weak, right? You're not that perfect mother. And now you see women on Instagram and on Facebook, and everyone just talks about, you know, how being a mom is hard and, you know, working and the COVID and homeschooling. And you can even see, like, on TikTok, people are poking fun at themselves. And sometimes you do have to use humor, you know, to get through something. But at the same time, it's good to seek that professional help. And so thank you. Thank you for saying what you do. Thank you for sharing that. And it's important. So if you're listening to this and you're afraid of seeking help or you're not sure, what's the name of the center again that they can go to if they're a Fresno State
Look,
student?
I want to say, Jessica, and thank you again for having me here today. But the Cross Cultural and Gender Center, I like to refer to it as the happiest place on campus. We welcome, it doesn't matter who you voted for, how you identify, the color of your skin, we welcome everyone with open arms. Of course, now virtually, we'll give you a virtual hug, but everyone's welcome. And that's one thing my director tells me, Esteban, because it was hard at first to be vulnerable. Like the work that we do, Jessica, is so heavy. And we cry, you know, my colleagues and I, because, for example, George Floyd, when that incident took place, we were
Oh,
crying.
yeah.
And how do we support our African American Black students? So for my director to say, Esteban, your tears are welcome here, and you could be whoever you want to be in this safe space, be yourself. So it was hard because I was used to hearing otherwise, right? But we also have to recognize, Jessica, that when I say that at the Cross Culture and Gender Center, we welcome you with open arms, I mean that because that's in our mission statement, right? To make this campus a more inclusive and welcoming space for everyone, to fight against homophobia, transphobia, sexism, and so on.
Wow, that's great. Now let's talk about you said again about the percentages of students male, and what are you doing to help those males to stay in the course and graduate and not, you know, fall off from, you know, obtaining their degree?
You know, that's a tricky and great question, Jessica, because we have two departments, you know, two fields at Fresno State per se. We have the academics and then we have student affairs. So with academics, we have all the faculty, right? All the deans who are in charge of like teaching students and support them in graduating. Then we have student affairs, which that's where I'm part of, right? We create programming. We create programming to make this campus a more welcoming space for everyone. So to answer your question, again, the Immense Success Initiative is fairly new, right? And especially with everything going on, the changes in leadership, you know, shout out to our president. We'll be heading out to Long Beach to be our CSU chancellor. But there's so many changes going on. So a lot of programs were put on hold. So as a member of the Immense Success Initiative, we just a couple of examples. We created a Men's Success Initiative mentorship program, and this was kicked off earlier this fall. We recruited 17 freshmen, incoming freshmen, who identify as men of color and or men, and we partner them with 17 Fresno State faculty, staff, and or graduate students to mentor these freshmen. In addition to that, Jessica, we meet as a cohort with the mentees, right, with the 17 men, very diverse group, by the way, the first Friday of each month for 2 hours. And we talk about multiple conversations that come with stigma, right, that we're not used to talking about. For example, safe sex, consent, no means no, healthy relationships, how to get involved, the importance of getting involved, and so on. And that's every Friday we have different conversations. In addition to that, under the Men's Success Initiative, one of our colleagues, right, one of my team players, he launched the Men's Success Initiative podcast. And my colleague interviews different faculty and staff around campus who identify as men of color and or men. And so far we have had 3 successful episodes, over 400 downloads, and we plan to have more in the future. In addition to that, right, programming. As I share with you, we had a program this Monday, we had another one today, and right now we're working with different departments. As I shared with you earlier, right, student involvement, career development, student health and counseling center, and so on, to create programming for 2021.
Wow. And now if you're a student at Fresno State and this is interesting to you, or if maybe you're a parent and you have a child who will be attending college in the future, what's the best way that they can get a hold of
you? My email, I could give it to you right now, or, you know, but it's also in the Fresno State directory, Esteban Parra. But my email is ESTEV as in Victor, ANP as in Peter. So Esteban P, scsufresno.edu.
Wow. And what about any social media websites or accounts that they can see anything that we had talked about? Because that's actually how I found out about 1 year of events for the LGBT community. And I hopped on and listened and I was impressed. You guys really educated the students about the many ways that they could receive help if they were thinking of committing suicide or they were feeling depressed.
You know, because I don't have my computer on me right now, I believe it's Fresno State CCGC or CCGC Fresno State. If you could help me out with that real quick, but it's the same username handler for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you can't find it, I'll look it up right now. But look, it's important to recognize too that we have programming for everyone and anyone. And here's a catch. If you feel like we're missing a program to support a particular community, we're always welcome for feedback. And guess what? We always hear our students' voice that they raise, right? And we create programming for next semester to fulfill that student. Because if there's that one student who has a question or a concern about, hey, how come we never done programming about this community or for this community? You best believe that the following year, next month or next semester, we'll fulfill that student, because if there's one student, there has to be others, right, with the same question. And I do want to, I do want to give a shout out to my family at the Cross Culture and Gender Center, because ever since we were sent, to work remotely, right, since March pandemic, Jessica, we did over 40, by far, we've done over 40 virtual programs virtually, many departments and many institutions, they shut down like, oh, the pandemic, we can't do work from home. Like, what do we do? We'll just wait for, nope. Again, thanks to our leadership. The next day they're like, okay, we're sent home. When's your next virtual program, Esteban? Oh, okay, sure. Let's get something out, So we continue with the momentum.
That's great. And it's not easy to do that, especially during COVID, getting everyone together. I'm an ambassador for the Tulare Kings Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and we have our luncheons every Wednesday, and we have to send the link out, make sure everyone's informed, that they make it, that they know how to get on the Zoom meetings. Can you give us maybe some information about some future Zoom meetings that you guys will be having into 2021?
That's a great question. So on behalf, like in regards to LGBTQ and gender, today was like our last meeting, except for this Friday. We'll be meeting with the mentees from the Success Initiative. But right now, in fact, next week, I'll be meeting with my other coordinators. You know, we have other coordinators that support the Latino-Latina community, the African-American community, American Indian, and so on. We're going to talk about what programming will be rolling out come spring 2021. And that's pending, right? I wish we would have met last week, like my colleagues and I, and I would have told you what we have planned. But off the top of my head, Jessica, in March, we celebrate Women's History Month. And again, I'm speaking on behalf of Gender Programs and Services and LGBTQ plus Programs and Services, which is the two programs that I oversee. In March, we'll be having our Women's History Month. And we always partner with the Women's Studies Department, which recently was updated to the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies. We'll partner with Student Health and Counseling Center and other community orgs to create a calendar of different events that we'll be having throughout the month of March to celebrate women's history. In April, we have our Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And again, we'll create a lineup of events to educate folks on Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And, you know, February, we have a Black History Month. We're actually collaborating with the coordinator of African-American Programs and Services, and we'll bring a speaker, I believe the second week of February, to talk about his intersectionalities. This person, he's a publisher, he has books, and he identifies as American Indian, a Native American, LGBTQ, and African-American Black. So he's going to come to campus virtually to talk about one of the things that he mentioned was talking about the discrimination that he has faced within those three communities, right? For example, quote, he said, "I'm not Black enough when I go to my Black brothers and sisters," or I'm not American Indian enough when I go to a powwow. And so he'll be focusing on those talking points.
That's true. That's really true. I remember I was telling my friend how I was made fun of in high school for being a coconut. So they said, "Oh, you're brown on the outside, but act white in the inside." And I said, "You know what? I was born and raised in Visalia. And in the 90s, they didn't let you speak Spanish at elementary school. They really pushed that you speak English." And so I actually said, that was something I dealt with. I wish we had a program for coconuts. But to end on that note, I'm so happy, Esteban, that you talked to me and we could discuss all these important issues. I have a lot of friends that go to Fresno State. Their health, especially their mental health, that's what matters to me. I tell them, you know what? I understand you want your 4.0, but it's important that you also take care of yourself first. And any words to the students out there, especially right now, they're going to be going on winter break. Any words to bring them some happiness?
You know, I just want to say, particularly for students, right? We live in so much uncertainty right now, and there's that finish line. Right? There's that degree that you're working hard for. And I always say, though, that finish line may seem miles and miles away, that's probably true. However, I want you to check this out. Every second you're breathing, every time you wake up in the morning, you're one step closer to the finish line. So don't give up, right? And I'm here for you. The Cross Culture is here for you. Fresno State is here for you. And I did get the... Our Instagram, our social media handler, that's Fresno State, capital CCGC. Again, Fresno State, capital CCGC. And again, I welcome you all. You have my email. Send me an email.
And when they send you an email, they can let you know the times they're available, right? And then you can do like a Zoom call
you know,
with them.
My calendar is always up to date, right? And I'm pretty good with emails, right? I try to be on top of it, but no, it's the, yes, a Zoom call, a Zoom video, or even a phone call. I'll be here. We'll be here for you.
That's so nice, Esteban. Well, I'm so thankful we talked. I hope that whoever's listening seeks comfort, learn something new. And if they have any questions, do you have a phone number or someone that they can call at Fresno State if they just want to call?
Yeah, so, you know, we have the Fresno State CCGC phone line, right? And I could give you that. So the way it works, right, if you want to get a hold of me via phone, all you do is call 559-278-4435. And that's our frontline office, and they'll direct you to Esteban, to my other colleagues, you know, who work at CCGC. And again, that's 559-278-4435.
Well, thank you so much, Esteban. And I appreciate your time. And Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, all that fun stuff. And I hope that next year I will be able to join some of your Zoom calls. Again, you guys, seriously, I learned a lot being on these Zoom calls, even though I'm not a male, and I am an ally of the LGBT community, and it's just nice to learn something new. So have a good day to all our listeners, and much luck to
you. Take care. Gracias, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Bye. All right.